There are some folks in our Bible with whom you may not be entirely familiar. May not be familiar with them because we really don't know too much about them. Just a couple words, maybe a chapter at best, and then they're forgotten for the rest of Scripture. There is Zebedee. It's a man who is the father of James and John, followers of Jesus Christ. Then there's Joseph, you know, the earthly father of Jesus, who was there at the time of Jesus' birth, but then after his chapter or two of fame, we don't hear about him for the rest of the Bible. Then there are some other folks. These folks don't even have names, but we hear about them. Moses' mother, Elisha's mother and father. What do these people have in common, you might ask? Well, obviously, they're all parents. They're all parents of some of the greatest heroes in our Bible. But they have something else in common, kind of a shadow side to these great stories. Because each of them experienced a divided family. They each became separated from their children through some incredible circumstances. Zebedee one day was fishing with his son, and he was left in his boat because his two sons responded to the call of Jesus to go and be his disciples. And there Zebedee stood in his boat by himself to take care of his family business on his own. Moses' mother gave up her son, you know the story, put him in a little boat and sent him on his way, and Moses later became the great deliverer of the children of Israel. We never hear of his mother again, do we? Elisha was called by God to be the next great prophet of Israel. Elijah handpicked him and said, "Elisha, I want you to be the next prophet." And what did Elisha do? He said, "I must first say goodbye to my mother and father, to kiss them goodbye." And he did. And their mother and father said goodbye to their son. And then, of course, we never hear about Joseph again, that faithful servant of God who assisted Mary in Jesus' birth. And then Jesus went on his way to be the great Savior of us all. But we don't hear about Joseph again. These are biblical families who became separated, divided, some of them by circumstance, others by choice, because God had called these children out to be God's holy servants. Families separated by God. These are uncomfortable words, aren't they? They get even more uncomfortable when we encounter the scripture that is before us this morning. The very words of Jesus, who said in today's gospel, "I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am until it is completed. Do you think that I have come here to bring peace? No, but rather division. From now on, 5 in one household will be divided, 3 against 2, and 2 against 3 they will be divided." And then goes on a long list of members of a family who are now divided against each other. Not exactly the words that you would expect from Jesus. Not exactly the image that you might have of Jesus. We all picture him as the good shepherd or the loving teacher at whose feet we might sit and listen. But not a WWF wrestler. Not a great army general or a fiery politician. Not a Jesus who would spit venom. Certainly not the words we would expect from Jesus Christ. So we are left with a very important task this morning. Our task is to find out what these words mean. What does Jesus mean when he says he comes to bring division, not peace? What does Jesus mean when he says that he comes to break up families? A very careful task ahead of us. Stanley Hauerwas is a professor of Christian ethics at one of the big universities. And he begins one of his classes every year by reading to his students a very unusual letter. It is a letter that is written from a concerned parent to a government official. This parent is complaining to this person that his once obedient and well-motivated son has now become involved in some weird religious group. This religious group had completely taken over his life, forced him to forsake all of his friends, and turned him against his very own family. This letter is a letter of pleading by this parent for this government official to please intervene and do something about this obviously disruptive religious group, which had caused such difficulty in this person's family. Hauerwas then asks his students, "What is this letter about?" Students usually respond by saying, "Well, this letter is about some fanatical religious group. It's about the Branch Davidians, or it's about some really radical religious sect." They are surprised to find out that this letter was not written in the 1990s, but was written in the 3rd century. A letter written from some Roman parents who were complaining about a weird religious group called the Christians. Because you see, in the time of Rome, there was no more significant institution throughout the entire empire than the family. The family was the most important institution. Not for reasons that you might expect. It was because the family determined a member's role and position throughout life. If you were part of the right family, you were predestined to live the luxurious, wealthy life, to have right standing and right position throughout the entire empire, only if you were born from the right parents or part of the right family, had the right DNA code. But if you happened to be born of the wrong family, of an underprivileged family, then your lot in life was predestined to forever be in that place. The family was significant because it kept an order to the Roman Empire and separated the haves from the have-nots. And then came along this disruptive religious group, this group of Christians whose only attempt was to break up that entire family order, to call people out of those institutions, those family institutions, and welcome them into a church that said, "There is no distinction between the rich and the poor here. For this church is where we welcome those from all walks of life, from all socioeconomic places. We are a church where everyone is equal, no matter what family you were born into." And what a disruption that was throughout the whole empire. The church was recognized as a movement where you could be a member no matter what family you were from. And the church grew because it was a place of diversity, where people of all races, of both genders, no matter what their political affiliation was or their economic status, they could all become a part of the church. The church grew because it broke down barriers of oppression in the world around it. And so this might give us a clue as to what Jesus meant when he said, "I have not come to make peace, but division among the family." Not family in the literal sense, perhaps, but in the wider, more metaphorical sense. That Jesus came to break down any barriers that exist within a society that keep people from experiencing the grace of God, from becoming saved through the work of the cross. That Jesus came not to bring peace among any system of oppression that keeps people down, but to invite them to a new possibility. These were words that Jesus spoke against a system called the Roman family, but words that might ring true even today. As Jesus comes not to bring peace to the welfare state, or any of the racial oppression systems that exist in our country today, or in the orphanage system in the Ukraine. Jesus comes instead to break down those barriers so that people might be free to leave and then become part of something grander and bigger and more hopeful. Jesus says in this passage, whatever system keeps people down, whether it be a political one, or an economic one, or a demonic one, Jesus wants them destroyed. Jesus wants them crushed. Jesus wants them eliminated so that people can be free to experience something new. And that something new, Jesus says, is the new family. The family of God. The kingdom of God that Jesus came to establish. A new family that we can be part of, that we can be a member of, not through our DNA code, but through the experience of grace. A family that is larger and grander than anything that we have experienced. Where our grandparents don't live down the river through the woods, but in Jerusalem and in Rome, New Delhi, in the Ukraine, in Georgia, in Seattle, all over the world. We can be part of a new family that doesn't keep us down, that doesn't predetermine our lot in life, but in which we can experience hope. This new family called the Kingdom of God carries with it an incredible responsibility, though. Not only are we called out of whatever we are in to be part of this new family, we are called to be responsible in taking care of each other. Just as a brother needs to take care of his sister, as parents need to take care of their children, so we need to be sensitive to our brothers and sisters throughout the world, attentive to their needs, attentive to our family. Paul got it right when he wrote to the church in Corinth and said, "Now let this family you are a part of, this body, if you will exist, no dissensions or divisions, that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member of this family suffers, all suffer with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." This morning we have heard some stirring thoughts by Cheryl Singletary. In a sense, she has kind of given us a family update of how our family is doing in a world that we have never visited. She told us the stories of the orphanages where children are sent to live not by choice of their own. And if they're not snatched up by the right family, they are destined to live a life in a mental health institution, unadoptable. The circumstance, the situation in the Ukraine has set up this family of sorts, a family of parentless children, of people in poverty, a life that they might never escape. And Jesus comes this morning and says, "I have come to call people out of that family." Just as James and John were called out of their family to live a life of grace following Jesus Christ. And just as Elisha said goodbye to his family and began his remarkable ministry for God. And just as Jesus left his predetermined slot in life, left being a carpenter to begin his public ministry, to become the Savior of us all, so is Jesus today calling people out of whatever situation they are in, which are keeping them from being held back. Whatever system of sin, of abuse, whatever cycle they might be in, Jesus calls them out. And we, as a part of the family of God, are responsible for seeing that happen. Where in this world is the gospel of Jesus Christ inhibited because of human barriers or demonic barriers? Those are the places that Jesus wants to crush, not to make peace with them, but to divide them. To give people a new chance to live a normal life, to live a life of grace, to live a life with God. Brothers and sisters of this family called Bethel Church, we must be aware of what God is calling us to do to take care of the members of our family. To reach out to those who have never heard the gospel for whatever reason and to proclaim the good news to them. To reach out to those who have never experienced the life of the gospel and to act it out for them. So that in both our words and in our actions, the gospel might penetrate the stubborn walls of sin and oppression. Whether those walls be within our next door neighbor or in a child across the seas, we must share the gospel. We must expand our family through our words and through our actions. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all. Amen.